me as no other, he said. If you can stand, please stand and turn to John 17. Yeah, besides him, there is no other. There is no other. He is unique. He is unique. As I continue preaching through John 17, verses of interest this morning, it's going to be verses 20 through 23. John 17, 20 through 23, as Jesus prays for specifically us in this portion. And I'm going to read part of verse 1 and then skip to verse 20. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Again, Christ says that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. I'm going to preach from this thought this morning. Jesus prays for oneness. Jesus prays for oneness. He prays for unity in the body of Christ. Jesus prays for unity, or he prays for oneness. You may be seated. Jesus prays for unity. He prays for oneness in the body of Christ. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Thank God for our visitors. I see we have some first-time visitors. We thank God for you all coming to worship with us. Thank God for you. And we have some returning visitors and guests. Thank you for that. Thank each person for being here. I see Sister Sherry. She was out last week with a hurt shoulder. So we praise the Lord that she's with us this morning. It's just good to have all of y'all here in the house of the Lord. Also, one more time, I want to thank you on behalf of my family and I. Thank you all, not even just for last month, but just throughout the year, showing us such kindness. So thank you for your prayers, your phone calls, your cards, your gifts. Just thank you for showing such a great outpouring of love toward me and my family. So I thank God for serving the Lord and serving you all. Love fellowship. We thank God for the blessing to be able to serve the Lord here. In this wonderful prayer, John 17, as we continue on, the primary reason I started in John 17, my intent was to preach a short series on unity or oneness in the body of Christ. That's mentioned throughout the scripture. So I said, Lord, where should I start? And so the Lord directed me to John 17, and I was going to start right here, verse 20 through 26. But the Lord led me to start at verse 1. But here we are now. We've worked our way to verse 20. And you all know this by now, those of you who have been with us in the previous weeks, Jesus prayed in this awesome prayer. He prayed on that Thursday before he went to the cross on Friday. Shortly after he prayed this prayer, it appears the timeline, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed his prayer there. Many of us are more familiar with that prayer. But this prayer, he prayed it shortly after they left the upper room. Since we just commemorated the Lord's Supper, he had started the Lord's Supper and they left there, and he prayed this prayer for his disciples. So he prayed for himself first, verses 1 through 5, and then he prayed for Peter, James, and John, and those brothers in verses 6 through 19. And then in verses 20 through 26, it's an amazing thing, in verses 20 through 26, he prayed for you and prayed for me. Jesus prayed for you and prayed for me. And guess what? He still prays for us. That's the primary thing that he does now. He's our high priest. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and for me, praying for us. And every now and then I forget, I don't know about you, but every now and then I forget about that. But when I think back to that, I say, oh, I don't care what I'm going through. I don't know what's going on in my life, good, bad, indifferent. If Jesus is praying for me, and he is, I can make it through it. I say, if Jesus is praying for us, we can make it through it. If he brings you to it, he can take you through it. So we thank the Lord that Jesus prayed for us and he's praying for us, the true disciples, the true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Quick recap, to make sure you're in this number called the True Disciples. If you're not, today you can join the band of disciples. But a true disciple knows who God is. Jesus reveals God to us. A true disciple knows, he or she knows who God is. A true disciple is, by definition, a true disciple belongs to Jesus. We follow him. We obey him. We learn more about him. We follow him. We are his disciples. We learn of him. True disciples are obedient. True disciples have a heart for obedience. We're holy. True disciples are not worldly. If you belong to Jesus, you will be different and distinct from the world. Not meaning we're better than, but just different than the world. True disciples bear fruit. Jesus said, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear, not you might. He said, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. True disciples, here's a great one. True disciples, we are protected. A true disciple of God, a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we are protected. If you don't believe that, just read Job chapter 1, chapter 2. The devil, he has to go to God. He has to report into God to do anything to a child of God. So don't give the devil too much credit. The only way he messes with us is when God allows him to mess with us. And ultimately, it's still for God's glory, and it's to strengthen us, if you will. But we are protected, and we are kept. Jesus said in John 10, he said, if you're in my hands, nobody can pluck you out. He said, also, you're in my Father's hands, nobody can pluck you out. So we are secure. So I know I'm on my way to heaven. Why? Because Jesus said, if you're with me, I got you. I'm going to take you on into heaven. So I don't have to wonder or worry about, am I going to heaven when I die? I know I'm going to heaven when I die because I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not because I've done so much good stuff or this or that. It's because I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm under the blood of the cross. So I know. I know where I'm going when I die. I know where I'm going. So since I know where I'm going when I die, I should be living for him while I'm here on earth. True disciples, we are prayed for. Jesus prays for us. Matter of fact, Romans 8 even tells us sometimes we don't know what to pray for or how to pray. Sometimes, have you ever been like that? Sometimes you just can't get a prayer through. The situation is so rough or so tough. Your spirit is so tired. You can't even get, don't know what to say. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for you and for me. So true disciples, we are prayed for. Also, true disciples receive and obey the word of God. We receive and obey. We're joyous to be around the word of God. Just like a baby craves milk, you and I crave the word of God. True disciples. Here's a new one. Might want to write this one down. True disciples seek to foster unity in the body of Christ. True disciples seek to foster or to keep unity in the body of Christ. A true disciple, one of our attributes, we seek to keep unity in the body of Christ. So once again, this morning, you want to make sure that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are just a few attributes and characteristics of a true disciple, a true follower, a true learner of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to church all my life and find out at the end of the day, I'm not really a disciple. It's good you're here this morning. I'm glad you're here this morning. But just because you're here doesn't necessarily mean that you are a disciple, a follower, or a learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it does mean you have an opportunity even today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to say, okay, I'm not sure if I'm following Christ, but I want to follow him today. I would encourage you, if you don't know him personally, that today, I wouldn't leave here today unless I made sure I knew Jesus in a personal way. Verse 20, Jesus prays. He said, Lord, I'm not praying for these only. I'm not only praying for Peter and James and John and those guys who walk with me. I'm not praying for them only, but I'm also praying for those who will believe in me through their word. Through their word. So Jesus is praying once again, not just for Peter and those guys back then, but he's also praying for us. I say he's praying for us. Let me say it one more time. He's praying for us. So who are the us? Who are the ones that Jesus is praying for? Because see, right here in this verse, he's not praying universally for everybody. Now, there are some places in the Bible where God, where Jesus is reaching out and praying for everybody. But in this verse, his prayer is specific. So you want to make sure that you're in this group that I'm going to call us. This group that Jesus is praying for. But who is this group? That's a critical question this morning. Don't leave here this morning unless you know the answer to this critical and very important question. Who is this group called us? Again, this group called us. Sometimes it's confusion on this group called us. Sometimes some people think just because they come to church, they're in the group automatically called us. But what I'm going to tell you, you can call Sister Talia and then before that Sister Cousin and check and make sure just because your name is on the roll of Love Fellowship doesn't necessarily mean your name is in heaven's roll. Just because you're here this morning, I'm glad you're here this morning, but just because you're here this morning in the building doesn't mean you're necessarily in the body. Let me say that one again. Just because you're in the building doesn't necessarily mean you're in the body of Christ. Just because you've been baptized, and by God's grace, we're going to baptize a couple of people in 2 weeks. Just because you've been baptized does not necessarily mean you're in the group called us. Let me give you a personal example. I grew up in the church. I grew up in the Christian church. Got baptized when I was eight or nine years old. Got baptized. But I went into the pool as a dry devil and came out a wet devil. Still unsaved, still lost, still on my way to hell. I had been baptized. I was in the church. Y'all don't believe it, but I even used to sing in the choir. No, I can't sing. But I did all that. Brought up in a Christian home. But personally, I didn't know Jesus. So this us doesn't mean, once again, that your name is on the church roll. This us doesn't necessarily mean you've done a lot of good deeds and all that's good, that you're a good moral person. All those things are good. All those things are good, but they do not necessarily mean that you belong to Jesus. The only way that you can make sure that you belong to Jesus, the only way that you can make sure you belong to Jesus is that you heard and received the gospel of Christ. You know, the good news that Jesus came down through 40 and two generations. The good news that Jesus died for your sins and my sins. The good news that he hung on Calvary's cross for you and for me. The news that he was buried, but he came back to life with all power in his hands, never to die again. And so you called out to him, you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Guess what? You will be saved. You are saved. That's the good news. That's the us. Those of us who have heard and received and obeyed, Brother Michael, the gospel of Christ. The good news. Paul said this way. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But it is a power unto God for salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. So Jesus is praying for the ones. Listen, it's right in the text, right in the text. He says, I'm praying for those who will believe in me through the word of the disciples, through their word, through the words of the disciples. Now listen, let's get this straight. Their words were the very words of God. So Jesus is not saying just because you believe in the pastor or the preacher or some guy that may or may not be talking the truth or that you're going to be saved. Now he's saying that these guys, they brought the true message of God, the true message of Christ. The true gospel. So Jesus said, whoever believes in that, the word of these men who are only speaking what my Father is telling them to speak, they will be saved. See, as Christians, we carry the most important message in all of the world. The most important thing, as Minister Bray alluded to earlier, the most important thing is not going who going to win the election on Tuesday. Now, I've already early voted. I pray that you go vote. If you have not voted, we ought to pray for those. The Bible tells us pray for those in leadership. We ought to pray for them. But I tell you, my being is not attached to those who are going to get elected on Tuesday. I said, my being is not attached to those who are going to get elected on Tuesday. I'm going to pray for them. That's obedience. But I don't mean, oh, my candidate won. Oh, my candidate lost. No, my candidate is Jesus Christ. My candidate always wins. He always wins. Don't look to the Democrats to deliver you. Don't look to the Republicans to deliver you. Look to Jesus to deliver you. Let me say that again. Don't look to the Republicans to deliver you. Don't look to the Democrats to or any other party, the Libertarians or any other party to deliver you. Look to Jesus to deliver you. Again, pray, vote, get involved if you can. Do all those things. But look, that's of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. Don't look to a candidate or a party to deliver you. You'll be let down every time. You'd be like, man, I thought he was for me. I voted for him or her. I thought they were for me. You know how they flip the script. I'm going to leave that alone. You know how they flip the script. I said, you know how many politicians flip the script on you. Not all of them, but some of them, a lot of them do. So don't look to those type of things to deliver you. But look to Christ. Look to Christ and make sure you're in that group called us. Again, look at Christ, the one who was born of a virgin. Now, who does that? Where are they doing that at? He was born of a virgin. Think about that. He was born of a virgin. I think many of us who've been in church most of our lives, sometimes we lose the significance or lose the shock, if you will, of many of these truths. He was born of a virgin. The only person ever to be born of a virgin. Lived a perfect sin-free life. Went to that cross and, of course, rose again. So, Jesus, I'm praying for those who believe in the gospel. Those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's who I'm praying for. The one I've paid their sin debt. The one I've paid a debt that they could not repay. They couldn't pay it themselves, so I paid it for them. I died in their place. Those are the ones I'm praying for. Those are the ones I'm praying for. I'm glad Jesus prayed for me back then, and I'm glad he's praying for me even right now. So you want to make sure, beloved, you want to make sure that you're in that group called us. You want to make sure you're in that number that Jesus is praying for. Matter of fact, this is so critical, so important, I'm going to pause right now. If you're not sure that you're in this number that Jesus is praying for, if you're not sure you're in this number called us, you can come forward right now. We have ministers and others who can share the gospel with you and take you out and lead you to Christ even right now. We don't have to wait to the end. We can do it even right now. If you're not sure. If you're not sure you're in that number called us, the number that Jesus is praying for, you can even come right now. If you're not in that number, really the rest of this message is not going to really be for you. You can listen and kind of hide in on it, but you got to be in this number. This is a specific number. And look, it's an inclusive but yet exclusive group. It's an inclusive but yet exclusive group. But you have an opportunity to make sure you're in this group called us, this group that Jesus is praying for. Jesus prays for us. And he prays as we go on in this verse, in these verses, he prays for unity in the body of Christ. He prays for us to be as one in the body of Christ. Again, you get to be right with God. You get to be right with Jesus by listening or reading the word of God. Beloved, that's why it's so important, once again, for us as Christians to take the truth to people. We don't make up our own message. I said, we don't make up our own stuff. We say what thus saith the Lord. You know, the word preacher or proclaimer, and really all of us in a sense, secondary sense, are really preachers or proclaimers of the word. The word preacher really means herald. And, you know, in days of old, when you'd have a king, you know, they would send the herald or the town crier. You know, they would give him a new edict or a new ordinance, and they would come to the town, and you all have seen the movies, and they'd be like, burp, 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 burp. You know, they blow that little horn. That's my sound effects. And then they say, thus said the king. And they'd unroll that edict, and they'd say, well, the king says, broom. And they wouldn't make up their own message, Brother Rodney. Or if they did, they wouldn't be in that position much longer. Matter of fact, they would probably be beheaded. So they would say, what thus said the king. So here it is, as Christians, that's what we do. We say, burp, 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 burp. This is what Jesus says. Or you can leave out the horn part if you want to. But we say this, somebody said, thank you. But we tell them what Jesus says. We don't make up new stuff. I get nervous when people talk, oh, I got some new stuff. No, ain't nothing new. It's the word of God. Yeah, as you read it, as you grow, you might get some additional insights. But ain't nothing new. Don't be putting no new stuff in here. I'm having a hard enough time to read and understand these 66 books already in here. Don't be giving me nothing new. Sister Cousin, I don't need any new stuff. Just stick with the 66. So we, beloved, when we come, we share the message from the King. We share the message from God, from the Lord. And the message, once again, is that he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not go to hell, but shall receive eternal life. But God sent his son Jesus into the world, not to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, that's some good news. That's some good news. I must admit, I'm convicted. I don't share that good news enough, but that is some good news. So Jesus prays, Lord, I'm not just praying for Peter, those guys. I'm praying for people like Pastor O'Gwen. I'm praying for others. I'm praying for people like that. Then in verse 22, he goes on, verse 21, brother, what are you praying there, Jesus? He's praying that they being the Christians, once again, they being the true disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ, that they, Sister Phyllis, they all might be one as you are one. As you and I are one. Father, you are in me and I'm in you. That they also, hear that he says about five times in these verses, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So here it is. What is Jesus' goal for us, the Christians, the followers of Christ? What is his goal? It's right in the text. That we all may be one. That we might operate in a unified way. He's praying for unity in the body of Christ. What does this oneness resemble or look like? See, if we're really striving to be one in the body of Christ, we need a model, right? We need something to look at to know, okay, that's what it looks like. Well, Jesus gives us a high standard right here in this verse. Jesus, here is a picture of the unity. He said, Father, I want them to be just like you and me. He said, I want them to be just like you and me. Now, that's perfect oneness. That's perfect unity. Jesus sets the bar high. He said he wants us, unity, true biblical unity, looks like, we look like God and Jesus. People on earth, people who are outside the church, people who are in the world, they should be able to look at the Christian and see how we talk to one another, how we treat one another, and see a picture, get a little glimpse of what heaven is like. A little glimpse of how God and Jesus, relate. He said that's the picture. But listen, how can that be accomplished? Because that's a high standard. I said that's a high standard. If we talk about true biblical unity, not some superficial stuff. Now listen, unity is not uniformity. It doesn't mean we're going to all talk just alike. We all look alike. We all dress alike. Now that sounds like a cult to me. So true unity is not uniformity, but it does mean we unite around the truth. We unite around Jesus Christ. We have that commonality. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Christ, there's neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ, neither slave nor free in Christ. So we can accomplish this true unity. It's in the text. I'm writing the text. We can accomplish this true unity. Listen, as we are in them, as we are in Christ and Jesus. He said, Father, let them be one as you and me are one. I and you and you and me, that they also may be one in us. There it is, that they might be one in us. Apart from Jesus Christ, apart from God, apart from allowing the Holy Spirit who dwells in us to lead you and guide you, it's impossible to pull off this thing called biblical unity. But oh, beloved, if you're in Christ, if you're allowing the Spirit of God to lead you and guide you and direct you, we can walk in oneness. We can walk in unity. Matter of fact, some of the attributes of the Holy Spirit has given us great fruit. Love, looks like unity is there with me. Joy, peace, patience. We're talking about walking in unity. We need patience with one another. Oh, let me say that one again. We need patience with one another. As I often say, saints, you're not going to like everybody else's habits. You don't even like all your own habits. So I'm not talking about liking everybody's habits. I'm talking about loving people, having patience with one another. Having patience with one another. So we do it in him. We do it in Christ. We do it through them. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Really, because we see perfect unity between the Godhead, right? The triune God, the Trinity, we refer to God as that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We see perfect unity and oneness in them. So Jesus, here's the standard. And oh, by the way, the only way you're going to pull this standard off is make sure you're in me. Make sure you're hanging out with the Lord. Make sure you're in the Word of God. That's the only way you and I can really strive really effectively to achieve this thing called unity. Well, look, why is Jesus praying for unity? Why is he praying for? Why is unity so important? I mean, this is before Jesus is getting ready to die. He's not just praying some stuff just to be praying. This is very important. So why is it so important? Again, it's right in the text. It's critically important because you might want to write this down. It's critically important because it helps to make the gospel believable. It helps to make the gospel of Jesus Christ believable. True biblical unity. When you and I are walking in oneness, it helps to make the gospel to a skeptical world, to a world that's dead spiritually, as we're walking as one. This helps to make the gospel believable. So he says it right there in that verse. He said, Lord, help them to be one as I'm in one. You and me, I'm in you. That the world, here it is, that the world may believe that you sent me. see, if we racing all kind of H-E-double-L in the house of the Lord, if we can't get along with one another, if we gossiping on one another, slandering one another, when people who are just peeping in at the Christian church, people who just maybe know you on your job or know you in your neighborhood or even visit Love Fellowship, visit the church, if they see us causing all kind of havoc one with another, they're gonna say, man, enough of that Christian stuff. That stuff, they worse than what we are, what we doing. But when we are walking in unity, when we are walking, now once again, I'm not talking about perfection, but when we are walking as one, when we are walking in unity, that makes the outside world at least take notice. They may not get saved, they may not become a Christian, but they can at least say, well, those Christians, those people down there that love fellowship, they really do love one another. They really do walk together. I don't hear them gossiping or talking about one another. I don't hear them slandering one another. Amen, lights. It's critical. It's important for you and me to walk together in unity. For the saints of God, the people of God, to walk together in unity. I know as I look around, I see a few guys and some ladies too who are in fraternities and sororities. And you know, one of the things in college, that's one of the things that led me to join a fraternity. Because from the outside looking in, before I pledged, I was like, man, guys, everybody, they stick together. They as one. They got the oneness. Until after I joined the fraternity. Don't get me wrong, my fraternity was still pretty cool, pretty tight. But you see, that oneness was more of a facade. It wasn't quite the real deal. So, beloved, we don't want the outside world looking in and saying, "Oh, they look like they're one," but then once they come amongst us, they say, "No, they not one." We want to walk in unity. And we can do it once again because we had the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. Jesus said, Lord, they can do this because us, you and I, they can do it in us. We can only do it in Christ. We can only do it when we allow the Lord to govern our thinking, our actions, our words. Only then can we pull this thing off called unity in the body of Christ. Are y'all with me this morning? So the prototype, these P's, you might want to jot these down. The prototype for unity is God and Jesus, or Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. The prototype, or the example, if you will. I'm going to give you these P's. The prototype for unity. We see it. We see the example. We see the perfect example between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The prototype is the Lord himself. And the process for experiencing this unity is, once again, making sure you're in Christ. Making sure you're in Christ. Because it is impossible. Once again, it is impossible to pull this off on your own. It's impossible to pull this off in the flesh. It's impossible. Even as a Christian, we gotta walk spirit filled and say, Lord, control me, control my thoughts, control my words. I need you, dear Lord, because I don't like to walk in unity sometimes. So the prototype is God himself. The process is making sure you're in Christ, and the product or the outcome or the product of walking in unity, the product is that the gospel is believable. The gospel becomes, shall I say, more believable. That's the product. So the prototype is the Lord himself. The process to make sure you're in Christ. The product is a gospel that's believable. It's a gospel that's believable. Y'all still with me this morning? Y'all got that extra hour last night, right? Yeah. Does that mean I got an extra hour to preach this morning? Does that mean? Somebody said, no, you'll be in there by yourself. I'm going to be at the restaurant. I'll be home. Quick sideline joke. I think I've shared this with you all before. I was thinking about that this morning. My mother's father, my granddad on my mother's side, he was old school. And this was back when they used to do it every 6 months. I think now it's almost 7 and 5 or 8 and 4. I don't know. They do it. They used to do it half a year, right? So every time they got ready to change the time, my granddad said, I ain't changing the time. That's man-made stuff. I was like, well, Grandpa, you're going to be off time 6 months out of the year. You're going to be, I don't care. I ain't changing the time. And he didn't. He did not change the time. So for 6 months of the year, he was wrong, I guess, you know. He didn't change the time. Verse 22 and 23, as Jesus continues to pray. And the glory which you gave me, which the Father gave the Son, listen to this, I have given them. The glory to God you gave me, I have given to them. That, here it is again, that they may be one, just as we are one, Father and Son. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world, he restates it, praise it again, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, don't miss that, and have loved them as you have loved me. We're going to get back to that in just a second. But have loved them as you have loved me. The first part that Jesus said, God, the Father, the glory you've given me, I've given to them. So what does that really mean, saints? So I was looking at that and researching that one quote, and I think it kind of nails it pretty good. One quote I found said that this glory that Jesus is talking about, because we know we're not God and we're not Jesus, but we're supposed to look like God and look like Jesus, act like them, if we're disciples of them, right? So this glory probably refers to the manifestation of God's entire character in Jesus' life. Let me say that again. This glory that Jesus, Father, the glory that you've given me, I'm going to give this to them. I'm not, that's right, that's in your Bible, right? Isn't that in your Bible? That Jesus, I want to give this glory to them. So once again, this glory probably refers to the manifestation of God's entire character in Jesus' life. Because, you know, when Jesus was walking, he would say things like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I and the Father, we're one. And so again, saints, this is a really pretty concept you need to mull over in your mind. As we worship God, as we follow Jesus, the same glory that Jesus, that God gave Jesus, he said that same glory should be upon us. So when we walk and say we are Christians, we should manifest many of God's attributes. Now there are some of his attributes, of course, we cannot manifest. So hear me well. I'm just talking about those attributes that we can manifest. Here it is. Let me give you a couple. Love. That's one of God's attributes. First John talks a lot about that. John said, hey, you said you got love for God and don't love your brother. He said, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. So as a Christian, if we're going to show off and share the glory of God, the glory of Christ, one of the things we can do is show love toward the others. Jesus said it this way. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. He says that's the first and greatest commandment. Then he said the second is likened unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Again, those are not just some suggestions from our Lord and say, those are commandments. Those are mandates. And guess what? He never tells us to do something, Mother Moore, that we can't do in his strength. So if he tells me to love my neighbor, even though I might not like him, even though as I shared and blast this guy a couple of houses down from me, I had the wrong thoughts about him. Even though I might not like a person's style or whatever, I can still love them. I said, I can still love them. Matter of fact, I'm commanded to love them. So Jesus says, Father, give them the same glory that you bestowed upon me. Bestow it upon them. Jesus, once again, said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I mean, Christ, listen to this, in Christ, all the glory of God rests in bodily form. That's why Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. They said, wait a minute, Jesus, Abraham, he's a couple thousand years old. What do you mean? You just got born in Bethlehem. Now, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Then, matter of fact, he said, I am the bread of life. Matter of fact, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Matter of fact, he said, I am the life and resurrection. He said, I am the solid rock. I'm all that you need and much, much more. How many of y'all know that Jesus is the great I am? He is the great I am. He's all I need. He's all you need. So Jesus repeatedly makes this plea for oneness in this prayer. In these three verses alone, he mentions oneness at least five times. I like what Warren Wiersbe says, one of my favorite writers. He said that Christian harmony, you might want to jot this down. He says that Christian harmony is not based on the externals of the flesh, but on the internals and eternals of the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Once again, he said, Christian harmony is not based on the externals of the flesh, but on the internals and eternals of the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Again, in our spirit, in our inner man, because the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us, we can walk in a unified way. See, we can. So that's our goal. Somebody asked you, what's one of the goals of Love Fellowship? Of course, we want to go and make disciples of all the nations. We know that. Acts 1:8, we want to be a witness for the Lord. But tell the world, hey, one of the goals of Love Fellowship is to walk in unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe put that on your mirror at home. So, I want to walk in unity with my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a great goal to have. It's a great goal. And guess what? Jesus is praying for our unity. He's praying for unity in the body of Christ. So that should give you some encouragement right there. Hey, I can pull it off. So see, we can pull that off. I said, we can pull that off. Because Jesus is praying for us. Ephesians 4:4-6 says it this way. It says, there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Read that again. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The oneness that's in Christ. That's your recommended reading for this week out of the bulletin, Ephesians 4:1-6. Actually, meditate on that this week. Meditate on that this week. Say, God, I want to walk in unity with my brothers and sisters that love fellowship, my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, that might be my neighbor, my coworker, whomever. I want to walk in unity with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because think about it. We catch enough hard time when we're dealing with people who are unsaved. People who don't act or think like us at all. So at least when you come amongst the brethren, at least then you ought to be to relax a little bit and say, I'm at least around some brothers and sisters in Christ who I know love me. They're going to encourage me. They're going to maybe tell me if I'm off track. But they are a part of the body, the family of God. Similar to, but not exactly like, even better than this example, but I like to go to family reunions. And, you know, you see friends and family that you hadn't seen in a while. And many of them, you click right with them, right? But then some of them you don't click right with like you should. So it should be different, really, in the body of Christ. When we come together on Wednesday night, on Sunday night, on wherever we are, we're a family. I said, we're a family. Do we have the same Father? Right? We got the same Father. We serve the same Savior, right? We got the same Spirit in us, right? We got the same mindset. We want the same work. We do the same work for us going out and telling others about Jesus, right? And we're going to the same heaven. So if that's the case, we ought to be able to get along here on planet Earth. Again, we got the same Father. We serve the same Son, Jesus Christ. We have the same Spirit inside of us. We study out of the same book. We got the same work that we do, and we go into the same heaven. Look at all the sameness, all the oneness. So this is not just some kind of, you know, high ideological thought that Jesus has, but this is something he really is calling all of us to do. So much so that he's praying for it. So much so that he decided to tell John to write it down. To make sure on November the 4th, 2018 at Love Fellowship, they'll be able to read it and see it for themselves. Verse 23, the latter part of that, and I'm almost through. Jesus says, I'm in them. Jesus said, I'm in them. Let me just pause. Jesus said, I'm in them. Jesus said, I'm in them. Am I the only one comforted by the fact that Jesus Christ is in me? He dwells in me. Scripture tells Christ in me, the hope of glory. Mother Scott, it brings me comfort. You know, even when I'm quote unquote walking alone, even if I'm, you know, don't seem like anybody's with me, Christ is with me. Christ dwells with me and in me. He leads me. So once again, as he's in us, we can pull off this unity thing. We can love one another. I said we can love one another. A word about love, and I'm out. The latter part of that verse 23, Jesus prays. It's an amazing thing. He says, Father, I want them to experience and know that you have loved them just as you've loved me. Let that soak in just for a moment. Jesus, Father, just as you have loved me, just that same love, which is a perfect love, the same love that you have for me, I want you to have that same love for them. So let them know, dear God, let them realize, let them experience the fact that the love that you have for me, the love you have for me you've loved them with that same love. The same love. Again, we just can't rush past that amazing fact. We just can't rush past that amazing truth. I mean, in a very real way, not some fictitious way, but in a very real way, God loves you. God loves me just as he loves his only begotten son. To maybe wrap your mind around that just a little bit, how amazing, how phenomenal that is. Those of us who have children, I mean, I love other people's kids too, but I don't love them like I love Ariana or Ashley or Dottie. I don't love them quite that same way. Are y'all with me? But God loves us just like he loves Jesus. I can't, maybe it's just me, but I've been trying all week long wrap my mind around it. I'm thankful. I relish, I rejoice in that fact, but I just can't, Brother Terrence, I can't really wrap my mind around it. How can God love me like he loves his son? And you think about some of the stuff we've said and done in our lives. And some of it's been since we've been saved, too. I'm not talking about BC days. Some of us said I did some stuff yesterday we shouldn't have been saying, maybe. But yet God loves us just like he loves his son. That's an amazing love. That's an amazing love. And as we meditate and think on that, that helps us to say, okay, Lord, at least I'm going to try to foster unity in the body of Christ. At least I want to go tell somebody else about you because you love me the same way you love your son. Meditate on that this week, son. That's an amazing thing. That's a perfect love. I mean, that's a perfect love. And listen, God's love, it does unite us. The love of God does unite us. God's love, Brother Kurt, it does empower us. God's love covers a multitude of sins. A couple of words about our love and what it should be toward God. Out of 1 John, that's the book, we call it the love book. A lot about the love of God and the love of people in 1 John. 1 John 3:10, you can write that down and read it later. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. And listen, nor the one who does not love his brother. Simply put, John is saying, as the Holy Spirit tells him to write, it's not just the words of John. This is God, the Holy Spirit telling him to write this, Brother Sid. Simply put, he's saying, hey, if you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're not pursuing unity in the body of Christ, there's no evidence really that you belong to God. That's what John is saying. Also, John says in 1 John 4:7, he said, beloved, let us love one another. Let us love. See, think about it, saints. Throughout the Bible, there's so many one another, Brother Rodney and Sister Catherine, so many one another verses. Love one another. Serve one another. Forgive one another. Be patient with one another. All those one another verses. So it lets us know that it's pretty important how we live with one another. Love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So one of the ways we show that we really do belong to the Lord is the love we have for him and the love we have for the brethren. 1 John 5:1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So John is saying, if you love God, you're going to love the rest of his children. That's my interpretation. If you love God, you're going to love the rest of the saints. Again, I'm not saying you're going to like everybody's habits, likes everybody's style, you know, but we are called to love one another. Listen. If you belong to God, his love is in you. That's simply put. If you belong to God, his love is in you. And since you belong to the Lord, and since his love is in you, you will be pursuing unity amongst the brethren. I realize we on planet Earth and we live in the flesh. It's not going to always be like that, but that should be our pursuit. Our goal should be to walk in unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's so important to Jesus. Once again, he prayed it. It's so important to Jesus. He said, when you do that, you're going to help make the gospel believable. But watch this. The flip side is the same. If we don't do that, we help to make a skeptical world say that gospel must not be the right thing. Now, listen, ultimately, if we pull it off perfectly or not, guess what? God is still going to save who he's going to save. You and I just miss out on participating in it, but the Lord is still going to do his bidding. He's not waiting to see, make sure we do our bidding, he'll do his bidding, but he is telling us how we can join in with him and make the gospel believable. Y'all with me this morning? A couple of verses on God's love and I'm through. As we ask God to show us your love and we might show others, remember, I quote this verse quite often, God demonstrates, shows, makes known. He demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, hardly would a person go die for a good person, right? But Christ died for sinners like me and you. That's a demonstration. That's a show of God's love. Somebody said, Jesus was asked how much he loved us. And he stretched out his arms and said, put me on the cross. John 3:16 and 17 again, I quoted it earlier, talking about the love of God. We're talking about how Jesus prays for our unity, how we unite around the truth, how we show not some superficial love, but true sacrificial love that we ask the Lord to help us to show to others. You gotta pray that. It just doesn't happen naturally. Y'all hear me? It just doesn't happen naturally. You gotta pray and say, Lord, help me to love brother or sister so-and-so. See, God knows. You can go and say, Lord, I don't like them. I don't love them. But help me to love them. Help me to love. And you don't have to be worried about, I don't know if that's in the will of God. No, certain prayers we can pray, we know it's in the will of God. We don't have to be saying, well, I don't know if that's God's will. No, that is God's will for you to love him or her. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. But God did not. Somebody said, did not. He did not send his son into this world to judge or to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Y'all know it. So once again, saying, let's strive to live in unity with other brothers and sisters, that we all the more might make the gospel, the good news, believable, and that an outside world, if nothing else, they would kind of yearn. Say, man, I don't know if I'm going to get saved, and I don't know if I'm going to give my life to Christ or join that church or not, but really, it's something about them. I see something in them, that oneness, that unity, that their zeal for the Lord. Lord, something is in them that makes me want to kind of go that way. I remember in the late 80s, early 90s, I had moved here to Chattanooga, and I was still unsaved, but I was somewhat religious. I would go to church sometimes, and this young man would come visit me. He was a couple of years older than I was, so still, we were in our 20s. And that was the first time personally, because I grew up in the church, I saw a lot of older people serious about the Lord. That was my first time personally seeing a young man in love with Jesus. And there was something about that kind of drew me to him and to the Lord. And a few years later, I did get saved, but just something, I said, man, he got something I wish I had. This closeness with the Lord. So saints, let's, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as love fellowship, as other saints, let us make the world look at us. Say something about Aaron, something in his life, something about how he treats others. I want that. I want to be a part of that. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for your marvelous love toward us.